Blog Talk Radio.
having the lines open on Facebook. If you all want to make any statements, send up hearts, thumbs up, care signals, or something that you find funny, let me know. Tag it, hit the button, and we can go from there. I'm trying to bring on Apostle Elect onto the air with us so we can split screen. But I want you all to know our foundational scripture. Hey, Apostle Elect, make sure the sound is on. Yes. How are you all to this evening, Apostle Elect? Can you hear me? I can't hear you. Can you hear me? I can't hear you. Can you hear me? Yeah, but I can't hear you at all. So we're just going to ask God to open up the lines that we may hear her. So I was saying, we know that our foundational scripture is Matthew 6 and 33. We will be talking about that on tonight. That is, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, with that being said, we're going to also just go on and start off. I want to start off with my first scripture, which is going to be from Psalms 19. I'm sorry. Let me get this right. I wrote my scriptures down because I'm trying to do two things at one time. You all be patient with me. My first scripture, yes, is from Psalms 19, verse 14. It said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. With that being said, everything and anything that comes out of my mouth tonight, I want it to be acceptable unto God. My testimony a couple of years ago when I accepted doing the program on Blog Talk, it was because, to be honest, God had already shared with me that I was going to be asked to do the program. I was going to be asked to be one of the speakers on the program after I had decided to be the MC for Iron Sharpening Iron Smile 3E Let's Talk program. So when I decided to do that, I decided to be in it 100%. Now, mind you, those of you all that know me know that when I involve myself in something, I'm 100% in. For example, majority of people know me know I ride motorcycles. And I have been involved with three motorcycle clubs in my whole time of riding. I started riding, I could say, late teens. I was riding on my own. As a young rider, I was with a sport bike crew that I started out with called Just Friends. As I got older and I was, as I say, it was time to leave the sport bike scene because I looked at it as more for younger people. I became more laid back well into my adulthood, a wife and a mom. I decided to get involved with Women of Clutch and Chrome in 2010. I was with Just Friends from the late 80s up until about 2010. That's how long I was with Just Friends. I was with Women of Clutch and Chrome, Clutch and Chrome MCs, till I'll say a couple of years, about 2 years ago, maybe three at the most, but 2 years ago. And I became a member and a founder of Black Chrome. So I said all that to say, when I was involved in these clubs, I became 100% involved in these clubs. I put my all in all in these clubs, building these clubs, trying to get these clubs to where we felt that they needed to be, they should be. I was 100%. I made sure this club was known. So at a certain point in my life, it was told to me that God said, stop running. Yeah, I paused. God said to stop running. But when it was told to me, it didn't have to be told to me because I had already knew I needed to stop running. God had already told me, how many times have you called on me? How many times have you needed me? And how many times have I not shown up? And the answer was, I can never say never. The answer was always. God, every time I called on you, you was always there. Every time I needed you, you was always there. Every time I asked you for something, you was always there. Even when I asked you for something and you knew that I didn't need it, you was always there. So when I was presented with this program, I knew that I had to stop running and to stay focused on God. So after I got over being scared and I said, yes, Lord, I was honest. I was like this, yes, Lord, I'll do it. But, God, you know, I didn't ask you that. All I asked you was, would you do what I told you to do? You said, tell me, Lord, I'll say it. You said, push me, Lord, I'll do it, I'll go. He said, no, I'm telling you, I'm pushing, and I'm needing you to say and go. So I was too scared not to keep my word to God because I've been brought up in a sanctified house. I've been brought up in a sanctified family. My bloodline is sanctified on my mom's side as well as on my dad's side. I've been taught about the Lord Jesus Christ all my life. Now, I don't know about you or you or you or even those in the back. I don't know nothing about that. I'm talking about my life. So I said I was too scared not to keep my word. So I prayed and I said, God, teach me how to want to do this. And God started showing me how. And then he had my sister, Apostle Alexa, say, remind me, Renee, you was in the motorcycle world, you put 100% in it. When you was building your club, you put 100% in it. Wherever you all had to go, wherever you had to do, wherever you had to meet, whoever you had to talk to, you put 100% in it. When you built up your sisters in that club, you put 100% in it. And I had to stop and say, ouch. Even if I didn't want to look at it or feel it or be like, you're right, because from just friends, 100%. Even if I had to do the drive and the ride and the walk and the call and the pull and the push and the raising the money, I was 100% in it. And I said, okay, God, you're right. I'm going to get about your business and I'm going to get 100% in it. Regardless what I say or regardless what I do, because one thing I do know, God has the power, the strength, the authorization. I'll go that far. God can do all that. He can change all that. And as I begin to just trust God and hold on to God's words and get in his word more and read his word, hey, Minister Margo, thanks for tuning in. I begin to just say, God, for you I live, God, for you I die. Because we can live and die for a lot of things, but is it going to count? So when I started looking at things in my life and places that I was in and health issues and stuff like that, I had no way and no reason not to believe God, because God has no respect to person. He reigns on the just as well as the unjust. And when I wasn't even trying to talk about what the Word of God said or tell people about the Lord, even in my living in my mess, when I was in the world doing what I was doing, I would always catch myself for saying, well, you know, the Bible says, because even with me doing the mess I was doing, that word was still in me. That word was still in my spirit. That word was still in my heart where I could not get away from it. Even though, hey, Apostle, are you back now? Well, just stay on until it come on. So I just say, God, I thank you for everything that you're doing, everything that you have done. I just say, God, I thank you. Hey, Joe, thanks for joining in. I have another scripture that I want to read to you all. It's from Jeremiah, the 23rd verse. I'm sorry, 23rd chapter. Now, I'm gonna move over to the 24th chapter. How about that? Let's go to Jeremiah, the 24th chapter, the 7th verse. And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. And see, that's what I was talking about. When I decided to just give my life to God, with all of my, how they say, bruises, with all my scars, with all of my mistakes, with all of my disappointments, with all of my hurt, with all of my broken heart, with all of my misunderstanding, with all of my bad language, bad words. Oh, I'm going to just tell you about me. I'm going to tell you about me. When I decided to come to God, I said, God, give me the heart to do what you have asked me to do. Hey, Evangelist Lasonya, thank you for joining in. I said, God, I don't want to just be on Facebook spreading your word, talking about your word, and then when people see me, they could say, if she's saved, I'm saved. She could do that. I don't want to be a stumbling block. I want to stay focused on God. I didn't want people to see me that when I got sick or when I was hurrying and stuff, I decided to change my mind. No, I decided to call on God even the more. I'm learning how to stay in his presence. I'm learning how to say, God, even here, even right here, God, get this. Because before 2020 was up, it was some things inside me that was still in there that I didn't know. And when that thing popped up, I said, oh, God, that's still there. Oh, my God. God, get that out of me. That thing's still there where I would go to the point where I would tell somebody or feel like I'm going to call you and tell you I'll be on your front porch when you get home. I will make you move up out your house. I will burn your house down with you in it. I had to say, oh, God, get me. I had to get back focused. Well, I had to say, God, there's something down on the inside. Y'all better hear me. When you need to be focused, when you need to get before God, because it's something in you, always something in you. It's like they say the flu or something's down on the inside is laying dormant. If you don't stay focused, something's going to come up out of you that may take a hold, may take control, may take over. But I'm in a place where I'm saying, God, I want to stay focused on you. I want to be in a place where when I wake up in the morning, before my feet touch the floor, before I throw the cover back, before I open my mouth to yarn, I'm saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, when I was growing up, I used to hear my mom and my dad and my aunties and stuff like that say, and my uncles, oh, it's good day to still be alive. When you get about, when you get up to this age, when you get in this age category, baby, it's a good day to still be alive. But I've learned to, I live to learn, I should say, that it's a good day every day to live to be alive. Because everybody ain't living to get old, and everybody that's dying ain't old. Just today, we lost Cicely Tyson, 96 years old. Could you imagine the things she's seen? Could you imagine the things she's been through? Could you imagine at her age she could have remembered back to when they had white bathrooms and white fountains and black bathrooms and black fountains and when blacks couldn't come through the front? Could you imagine that when she was saying throughout her life, 96 years, I thank God for everything that I've been through. I thank God for everything that I've seen in my life out of these 60 years. I thank God. Apostle Elect, are you ready now?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Wow, it's just long enough.
Yes, it did. So,
I think it was because I had my blog talk open.
Oh, okay. So, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read this scripture, and then I'm going to hand it over to you. I was saying that about Cicely Tyson, the stuff she may have seen in the 96 years she was here. Hey, Kelly, thank you for joining in. But my scripture right now is from Jeremiah, and it's the 29th verse, the 13th chapter. I'm sorry, the 29th chapter, 13th verse. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And with all my heart, I'm searching for the Lord because I want to stay focused on him. So, Apostle, I'm handing it over to you right now to share with us what staying focused on God and when things are good or bad.
Yeah, I think sometimes, you probably already said this, people talk about how people stay focused and they call on God in the bad times. I found that I've made a practice of staying focused on God when it's good and when it's bad because I don't want God to have to allow things to happen in my life in order to bring my focus back to him, because that's not the kind of life you want to live. That's like being in a marriage or a relationship where the only time that person shows you love and affection is when they're trying to get your attention, or when they see someone else looking at you or something of that sort. It should be, our example is this husband and wife, whether they have a date night or whether they just make a practice of when they see each other, they greet each other in love. We should always, and God is perfecting me in this because I haven't arrived. I'm not saying that.
Yes.
But I'm saying he's teaching me how it's important for me to praise him. And so when the things come in my life, and I always say I accept what God allows, when those things bother me, I still try to, make sure I'm giving God all of the glory, all of the praise. When things at work or at home or with the family are going on, I still try to stay focused. If I see a friend that's hurting, like I had someone call me and tell me how devastated she was because of something that happened, and a lot of people don't realize that their leader can cause them to feel and go through devastation because it's not that we make them our God as much as we look up to them.
Okay.
And so if someone is speaking in your life and they're encouraging you and they're helping, not but them, sometimes they can be pretty devastating. And for this particular person, their heart was broken. And so, you know,
yes.
we pray with them, we encourage them. But the main thing the person said to me that made me know I had to praise them, they said, I'm tired of these church folks. I'm just giving up on church.
Mm.
And I said to them, I said, why would you blame God for the word coming true?
That's it.
He said there was going to be a
great falling away. Yes.
So he even tells us that, you know, things would come that would, and demonic forces and various things would happen that would come to deceive the very elect.
Yes,
so why are you
yes.
upset that the enemy comes to steal the very elect away from God because he doesn't want to be lonely?
Yes.
He wants fellowship too. So why are you blaming God for man making wrong choices?
That's it.
Because sometimes they just do that. Proverbs 4:25 says, let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you.
Yes.
And Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. And Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Yes.
Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things that are above, not things that are on earth.
That's it.
I mean, and Matthew, oh my goodness, reminds us that, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his
righteousness,
and all these things shall be added unto you. So that means you have to keep your mind on the kingdom, because it says, but seek ye first. And so then you have Philippians 4:13 that says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And who is that that's strengthening you?
God.
That's God. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in perfect peace.
Yes.
Mind stayed on you because
mm-hmm.
he trusts
in
you. In order for your mind to be stayed on him, you have to be focused
yes.
on the things of God, and not just when it's good, not just when it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to ask God, God, give me a heart to want to stay
mm-hmm.
focused on you.
Yes.
God, I think that I'm focused, but please help me to be more
yes,
focused.
Yes, that's it.
God, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, I trust you, but help me to trust you the more.
Mm-hmm.
God, I praise you, but take my praise to a higher and deeper level in you. God, I pray, but show me how to pray fervent prayers and
yes.
sexual fervent prayers. God, show me.
Yes.
God, let me stay teachable, God. God, allow me to ask you for your wisdom. For you said, if any man lack wisdom, let him
ask,
and you would give it liberally. God, your word says,
that's
bring
it.
His word back to his remembrance, because he already knows what his word says. But do we
know
what his word says? Do we stand on what his word says? Do
mm-hmm.
we focus on what his word says? Or do we focus on what man says? Because even if man says something about your past, that's a celebration right there. You just
thank God.
Reminded me that I used to be a garden tool.
Yes.
You just reminded me that I used to do this or that. And because you reminded me of that, you reminded me of just how good, just how forgiving,
good, yes.
just how gracious God is, just how loving he is, just how patient God is.
Yes.
Well, guess what? You have caused me to accept the fact that if God can save a filthy wretch like me, my goodness,
he can
save
anybody.
You, and you, you over there, you over there, you over here. We just have to allow this stuff to remind us to praise God and to keep our eyes on him. And like I said, I'm not saying that it's easy, because when your body's wrecked in pain, if
yes.
your response is, God, I still trust you. God, I know if you take this pain from me, and when you take this pain from me, but even if you don't, I know that you can.
Yes, sir.
And it's just a place and a posture in God that I have to be honest. One of the things that helped me stay focused on God was when I worked at a place where I was the only black female in a leadership position, and everybody that I worked with were males. They were racist males, and the racism and the sexism that I dealt with on a daily basis kept me in tears. It kept me before God. God, but I kept saying, I know you're going to deliver me, and you're going to use this to make me better, not just physically, but you're going to use this to make me better naturally. You're going to use this to make me better spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And when he brought me out of that,
yes.
I'm not going to lie, I wasn't just happy. I had joy, joy, joy. But I went to God and said, God, what was I supposed to learn from that?
Yes.
And then he showed me, I taught you patience. I taught you to stay focused on me. I taught you to love them even though they hated you because you were a woman and because you were of color. And so when I look back over that, I realized they really had not only helped me praise him, they helped me to praise him the more. But I can also look back on when I was in the war zone, when he woke me up out of a coma. I can look back on the times when he got me a promotion, he gave me a bonus, and I just praised him even the more.
Yes.
And so I don't want God to have to put me back with those 10 prejudiced men again.
That's
for me to stay focused on him.
That's what I'm talking about.
I want him to know that I'm going to stay focused on you even when you promote me.
That's
I'm going to stay focused on you even when you allow me to bless somebody or somebody to bless me. God, you don't have to keep me in a place that I feel like I'm way down in the dump in order to keep my focus on you.
That's it. That's it. And that's what I've been learning, that a lot of times people won't, they won't understand that their duty or position in your life is to test you. And a lot of times you have to stay in a place where you say, okay, God, if I say this, how far back is this going to set me? If I do this, how far back is this going to set me? Like I said, when I had shared with you, when I said, oh, my God, I didn't believe that was still in, down inside me where I felt like I wanted to wait on somebody's porch or I wanted to burn their house down with them in there, you know, and I was like, that thing is still in me, you know,
And what did I say? What did I say to you? I said, God can use that.
You sure did. You said, God can use that.
I said, God can use that.
Because
I said, don't get explicit. Everybody wants to tell you how negative that was, and it was, but God can use that, because if you'll take that type of fortitude to go after something, then you can use that same thing to go after the enemy in warfare.
Yes.
And intercessory prayer. I mean, take that same, man, God can take anything we have and work it out for his good.
Right, because once you had said that to me, I had remembered Apostle Sandra Thomas, how she said that when God took her from the world as a warrior for the world, put her on his side as a warrior. And I had to start believing in that to say, okay, God, when I was saying before, I do this, or I do that, and God said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you what you do, my will. And I said, okay, Lord, yes, I'll do your will. I said, when I shared that with you, I was in such a place of, I was disappointed in myself, not thinking that God was saying, I didn't call you over here to be a punk. I called you over here because I wanted that same warring spirit you have, that same fight you have, to be over here and fight for me. That's why on this subject tonight, and I was looking up scriptures, and God gave me this scripture in Matthew 6:24. He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve God and money. And I use that for the fact that God was telling me, don't be over there fighting for him and love it and then come over here and don't have that fight like that. You over there, you punching for him, you slugging, but over here for me, you want to do a windmill.
Ooh,
right. And I said, God, I thank you. So I'm just have to get to the point where now I'm saying, okay, God, teach me how to focus my fight with your spirit inside me. Teach me how to focus everything and anything I do, whether it's good or bad, that I have to stay focused on you and say, okay, God, because of this situation that's come upon me, what do I get out of it? Even with the good, God, what did I get out of the good? I have to look back and say, by me blessing somebody else, I'll probably answer the prayer they had put up before God. If I had to stand over here and do something on the other side where I had to stand up to somebody, that was me saying, don't get it wrong. My God is a jealous God. He said you either going to be for him or not. He said if he be for me, he's more than the world against me. But don't think because I'm over here, I'm going to be a punk now. As they say, I still like to dance. I just changed partners. So my fight now is not so much physically, it's more as I've learned how to pray. I've learned how to praise. I've learned how to pick up the phone and say, hey, I need you to touch and agree with me. I need you to pray with me. I need you to help me go into the spirit realm to bind up this. But at the same time, I can't speak my mind and tell you, let me seek God about that. Or I'm not going to deal with. I could say no, and don't, and it's not going to be where I'm going to be feeling bad, especially if God told me to say no.
Right.
Because sometimes people get it twisted that when you decide to be saved and you say, this is my weapon, this is my Uzi, this is my 480, this whatever you want to call it. When people see you with that, then they kind of think they could walk over you. But then they don't know that God will tell you to tell them, no, I'm not going to be, I don't serve a sugar daddy. I serve the Father of all. I don't serve somebody that's going to allow you to walk over me. He said that I can walk to his throne. I can lay it before him. I just thank God for everything that he's doing for the people he has put in my life. To allow me to say, okay, especially like you, you know me, you know my personality, you know my attitude, you know I shared some things with you, and you said, Renee, that ain't nobody but God, because the old Renee would not have done that, the old Renee would not have let that go, the old Renee would have worked like this, like that, and I just said, God, I thank you for confirmation to let me know that I have been focusing on you. I have been putting myself on the altar, and I have allowed you to change me and not worried about what people think or say.
Right, and then you learn what your buttons are. Yours could be anger management. Somebody else's could be he's tall, dark, and handsome. Somebody else's could be money and working too much. I mean, everybody has these things that they're being tested in, and so we can't say, oh, well, as long as you don't get angry anymore, you're okay. I have someone that works for me. She's super nice. That's what I call her. I never call her nice. I say, you're super nice, because she's so nice until people, when they first meet her, think they can walk all over her. But she corrects them in such a nice way. Remember how we went to visit one of our aunts? And every time she said something to me or went off on me or hollered and screamed, I would just say, yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
And the more she hollered and screamed, I was, no, ma'am. And she was like, if you say yes, ma'am, one more time, I said, yes, ma'am. And I was serious. It didn't matter what she said. I wasn't going to be disrespectful to her. In the end, she just loved me. She was like, see, you didn't yes, ma'am, me to death. But she was upset and she was angry that
she
I
very, she
say,
was very,
yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am.
Very,
she says, your mom and daddy done messed you up. And I said, no, ma'am, I respect you no matter if for the teenager, the preteen, or the old person. It's still going to be said,
yes.
I said, when I go to McDonald's, when I go to any restaurant, when I go anywhere, I said, it's yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. I said, because everybody deserves respect.
That's it.
And I even let her know, when I worked in the prison, passing out medicine and doing the various things, it was yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am. It didn't matter they were inmates. It was just everybody deserves to be respected.
That's
even
it.
When they're calling you the N-word or the B-word or whatever, it was like, okay. Okay, and most of the time, the people that tested me the best were the ones that I loved, the ones that were a relative, or the ones that were a friend, because like the word reminds us, if an enemy or someone does you wrong, you expect that, but when the people close to you push your button, then that's when you're just like, I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of husbands and wives go through some of the things that they go through, and the boyfriends and the girlfriends, because like
yeah.
I had told you, growing up, there was someone that I cared for a lot, and when they had walked in the room with another person, I found myself saying, what? And it took me a long time to forgive that person because that was something that I thought they would never do because of the lies. And then they apologized, but I was like, no, we'll be friends from a distance. It didn't mean that I didn't forgive them. It just meant that I knew, oh, I can't give you my heart because you are Mr. Gigolo and you think you can just take a woman's heart and do as you please with it. So it's like, what is your button? It may not be anger. It may not be a man or a woman. But your button may be respect. Your button may be honor. And so that's why right now I have people that test me with their disrespect and their rudeness, and God allows me to pass that test. Because, see, in the military, respect and honor was not optional.
Mm-hmm.
You respected, you honored people, or you got court-martialed or whatever it took. So getting out of the military, I had to learn that people were rude and disrespectful, and I couldn't put them in parade rest or make them do push-ups and sit-ups or make them run. I had to learn how to deal with the dishonor and the disrespect that appears to be popular. It's common to answer the phone and go, what? It's common to walk to people and go, what up, what you want? You know, it's just the tones and the way people talk to each other. I'm like, where in the world? Where's the honor? Where's the respect for one another?
I'll walk up and say, this my. We don't play like that. No. No. You know, when we was growing up, one of our friends walked up, they was like, oh, this is my best friend, this is my friend, you know, so, but now they say, oh, this is my, no, like you say, my thing is anger management. I gotta pass anger management, and God's gonna deliver me. God, like Margo say, tone is important, because If you call me and I say hello and you say what's up, hun, I'm gonna hang up because I know you got to have the wrong number. Because basically, like you say, if you know me, you should know how to approach me. I don't walk up and call you out your name. If I don't know your name, I'm gonna just say hey baby, or if I forget your name, hey baby, because that's endearment. That is a form of respect, because 9 out of 10, I'm going to be like, I just came and not remember your name right now. Or, that's just what I am. But if for, the, like Margo said, for your tone, and you, when you look at the age difference, I don't care how old my son get, he going to always be the same. This is my age that he was when I first had him. He ain't never going to catch up with me. Never going to catch up. So, therefore, I expect him to respect me. Because if not, as my mother used to say, see, that's the problem. The kids don't have the parents like we had that would say, I brought you in this world, I'll take you out.
And they meant it.
See, they weren't your friend. They weren't your homie. They weren't your buddy. You didn't step together. You didn't twerk together. You didn't do any of those things together. Now, you may have sung together. You may have cooked together. You may have shopped together. You may even sit down and, after a certain age, play cards together. But it was never known you was your mama's best friend and she was yours. And we didn't share no outfits.
And you know what else is funny? Minister Sylvia, remember how people would wear a necklace and they would have the pregnant dog on it. They had earrings and pregnant dog. You hear people talking to each other on the reality shows and they're calling each other that name and they just sit in there. It's normal conversation.
Yeah.
Well,
hey,
that's
Billy.
Not normal conversation for me.
Not for me either.
Last of my check, my parents gave me a name and that's what I expect you to call me. I don't expect you to sing. If you're singing to me and you call yourself serenading me, if you call me one of those names, I'm exiting the room.
Yeah.
I don't know why she didn't like the song. My name is Cecilia. It's not pregnant dog. It's not garden tool. Well, that's a term of endearment. That's what we call our BFFs. No, call me BFF. But don't call me a name that when I look it up in the dictionary, it still means a prevent dog. It still means all of that. And
mm-hmm.
so even the songs that you're dancing to, they're dancing to songs and they're saying what the songs is. Like I was telling you, Jasmine Sullivan, very prolific singer. I've always loved her. But now she has a song out called Hotel, the rather album. And it amazed me. She says in the thing, she says she tried to be a good girl, but now the guy she's with has made a garden tool, she didn't say that, out of her. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, God, we have people talking about whatever. It's like, what in the world? I said, God, thank you that when I was in the world, these songs weren't out.
Yeah.
Because they would have messed me all up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so we have to pray for our children.
Yes.
Because they're being taught that being rude and disrespectful, being lascivious, being, you know, what Mama say? Mama would tell us, leave something to the boy's
imagination.
Why you got to show them everything?
Yeah, they show them their bank account. They show them their link card number. They show them their key card number. They give them every number that he wants, but they don't give them the number that says, respect me. You know, I don't guess they ever heard that record by Aretha Franklin. As Margo said, they have no standards. You know, the thing is
standard,
that...
Standard, there's no standard. You just go with, I'm just saying what I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
The standard is I might say this and I don't want no strippers to get mad at me. Have that stripper mentality. Well, be like it or not, our mother taught us that she knew how to do what she needed to do in the bedroom. And we never got to see what she did in the bedroom, but she also was an excellent cook. So not only did she know how to cook, she knew how to sew, she knew how to do everything she
mm-hmm.
needed to do. And my dad and her were together for over 52 years. They died apart. They didn't get a divorce. They died apart.
Yes.
Because even with all of the stuff Dad did, he always came back home. So not saying that people that have had 3 or 4 divorces aren't going to, you know, make it to heaven, but I'm just saying, where is the woman that knows how to do that stuff in private? Where is the man that knows
mm-hmm.
how to do that stuff in private?
Because the word talks about an undefiled bed. So don't keep bringing your stuff. When you get focused on God, you get focused to the point that God will cover it all. He will cover it from the beginning, the middle, and the end. Most of us get jobs, and I heard myself say it, a couple of coworkers said it. When I got my job where I work at over 20-something, almost 30 years ago, I decided I was going to retire from this place. I didn't want to be fired from this place. And I'm saying that to say, I put my myself in God's way. I'm going to work this word to the best of my ability. I'm going to stay focused on this word because when I retire from this body, from this life, I want to retire nor my final check stub, my final income tax statement is going to say, welcome in, good and faithful servant. I don't want to be missing no days. Because, see, being a minister, being a pastor, being a reverend, a bishop, an apostle, an evangelist, a prophet, whatever form of ministry you walk in, one thing it is, a faithful person to this calling, no, there's no retirement plan until God tells you to pass the reins.
Right, and that's why you got to work on staying focused.
Yes.
And one of the things that's usually a key that you're doing what God wants you to do is usually when those buttons start getting pushed. If you're being faithful to ministry and now all of a sudden the tall, dark, and chocolate man comes, okay, it's a distraction.
Uh-huh.
Because if he's sent by God, he's going to want to pray with you. He's going to want to read the word with you. He's going to be so far into God, and you're going to be so far into God until your focus is, both of you are going to be focused on God, and even when you unite, you're going to be even more powerful. Because there's nothing like a person that has a praying, significant other, and they both love God.
Yeah.
And we had this one couple that was down in North Carolina at the Deliverance Center. He prayed and she prayed, and when they prayed together, my. And it was just amazing listening to this couple pray, when they prayed individually and when they prayed together. When they preached, when they taught, it was like it was so anointed. The power of God, the yoke-destroying power of God, because they stayed focused. And it wasn't that they didn't have trials and tribulations, but they just stayed focused. And they weren't an older couple either.
Yes.
That's what I'm
asking God to saturate my family, saturate my household with being focused on Him. You know, a lot of times we put prayers up before God, we look for something going to come up and slap us. Oh, I'm here. It's the little things. The little things that you would notice. And like I said, with some things that's been going on in my life, when you said, Renee, I know that's God. God is working on you because the old you would have reacted like this. And then it made me step back and say, oh, wow. I didn't even realize I used to do something, or I don't do it no more. But that's because I'm not just talking. I'm willing to grow in God. And people can always see your faults and remind you of that. But ain't many people going to see your blessings and tell you, I can tell you've been before God. I can tell God's working in you because that's not you. That's not you. I'm saying that's you allowing God to show up through you. And I'm thanking God for all of that. I thank God for this ministry because this ministry has taught me how to think about what I say to people. Because at one point, I know y'all ain't going to believe this, but at one point I was unfiltered. Yes, I was unfiltered.
Yeah, the other word for rude. Yeah.
Yes, I was very rude, didn't care what I say, how I said, who I said, who heard what, didn't say, and better not check me, because that was a whole nother education.
What did we say about you and Troy? We said you either like them or you don't.
But I thank God for deliverance. You know, I always say, if God isn't tired of delivering me, I'm not tired of being delivered. One person's deliverance is not another. So don't think that what I love about the word, God didn't see, he didn't put a list of big sins, little sins, white sins, black sins. He says sin is sin, and no sin will enter in. I would say, Margo, living for God, it should be, that's it, my highest priority. And I just thank God for all of the deliverance he's doing. I always said, God, if you're not tired of delivering me, I'm not tired of being delivered. And I'm truly not tired. So I know that we didn't took up a lot of you all's time on tonight. I thank you all for joining in. Let me see if the apostle have any last words.
I want to say one thing about you, though. I had said that you were used to be rude, but I want to make sure that everyone knows that the minister Sylvia that you see now is like, she's not super nice, but the respectfulness, the honor, thinking before she speaks, I mean, it's really a transformation.
Thank
from
God.
God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
so
you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus.
For going before God and God help me to not say what I want to say to people and not care. I mean, I really appreciate the time that you take to make sure that you're courteous to the rude people.
Yeah, because I know that's God. I thank God for what he's done for me, because when I look at people and I be saying, you know what, I could say right now, I know I'm saved.
Amen.
I thank God for saving me, because, like I say, if they only, the ones that don't know, the ones that don't know, thank God, and they ain't got nothing to do with age. I got older. I'm telling you, thank Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to sing a little song, and it goes like this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just got to say thank you, Lord. He's been so good. He's been so good. He's been so good. I just got to say thank you, Lord. Yes, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Y'all just don't know. If you, as my sister Sheila said, if you don't know, now you know. God is good. God is good. God has been good to me. I have never not called on God, and he haven't showed up. I've never not put nothing up before God, and he haven't showed up. I've never not answered God, and he never answered me back. May not have been the answer I wanted, but it was sure the answer I needed. He may not have came when I wanted him to, but when he showed up, he was right on time. I want to say to you all, if you just go to God and say, God, show me what you have for me little by little. I just want to say, God, I thank you. Cassandra, that's right. Cassandra Brown said, thank you, God, for saving me too. I know Cassandra, and I'm telling y'all, Cassandra is saved. Look, God is a good God. Because a lot of times you can find fault. But see, you looking for something to blame God for. The only thing I'm going to blame God for is not saving me for real, because I didn't know the benefit of being saved for real. I thought just a little touch. You know, I go to church and speak a little tongue. I go to church, get a little hit. You know how they say you get a little hit of Jesus. I say, woo, I'm all right. But now when I open up and God put that hook in my heart, and save me for real, I said, God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, because, y'all, ask God to save you. Apostle, I'm going to give our final comments. I'm going to ask you to pray us out, and we're going to go from there. I would like to thank you all for joining in tonight. Thank you all for giving your comments. Thank you all that have claimed God as your Lord and Savior, and telling people about a man that can do anything for anybody at any time. And if he don't, it ain't because he can't. It's because he said, I need you to come a little harder. Okay? Minister Margo, thank you for being a faithful minister on this line also. I just want you all to know that this program is here on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. I'm excited, y'all. I'm excited. I don't want to end, but I'm excited. 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser, when he have time. I also want to say that program is called Let's Talk through Smile 3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. We're also here on Mondays, every Monday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Monday is the fifth Monday, if I'm not mistaken. Is it this the fifth Monday? Where?
The first Monday.
The first, okay. I'm excited.
It'll be the fifth Sunday. It'll be the fifth Sunday.
Fifth Sunday, okay. The fifth Sunday. And what are we going to do for the fifth Sunday, Apostle?
We're still praying for single parents and their families, their children, their friends, and extended family.
Yes, that's what we're doing. This Sunday is the fifth Sunday. It's our God sister, Ross and Collins' birthday. I would like to say happy heavenly birthday to Roslyn. This Monday night will be the first Monday of the month with our very own Dr. Serena Wright. I don't know what God is going to put in that woman of God's mouth, but if you're not doing nothing at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, tune in to Blog Talk Facebook Live for Dr. Serena Wright. That woman has a word in her belly. Also, we'll be here Friday of next week, which will be the first Friday of the month. I will be back. And if Apostle Elect is not busy, I will see and invite her back, and we can go back on to staying focused on God, because I can tell you, she can tell you some things with her being focused, how God has worked on her and showed miracles to her, to me, the rest of our family, when she was in the war field, and how our mom was able to make things happen while this girl was overseas in battle. So with that being said, I want you all to know our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't miss out on your chance or time to get to know God, because you're going to need him this season. We love you with the love of the Lord. There's nothing you can do about it. And Cecilia, Apostle Elect, could you pray us out?
Father God, we glorify you and we magnify you. We repent for sins of commission and omission. God, we ask you to cause us not only
Blog Talk, hold
to
on.
Focus, but God, to come before you asking you what we must do to increase our
yes,
focus.
God.
God, show us how to be those that know that by your stripes we're already
healed. Yes.
Teach us that you are our bread of life.
Yes, God.
Teach us, God, to obey you.
Yes.
To eradicate and to obliterate and to annihilate
yes.
every darkness, every evil in our lives. But God, cause us to love you even the more. God, we thank you for those that are in the White House, to those that are in the homeless shelters, God, that you're protecting them.
Yes.
But we know that your word says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we thank you for being our Almighty God. We thank you for being the one that has given us miracles, signs, and wonders, God. And we will focus on you. We will obey you.
Yes, God.
We'd rather obey you
He's
than
man.
Pass
yes.
away.
Tonight
yes, in
God.
Every area of our life. We
Amen.
Surrender,
yes.
we submit, and we say, be it unto us according to your word.
Yes.
Not
yes.
our will, but
your will
be done. No weapon formed
yes.
against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against us thou shalt condemn.
Yes.
For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Have your way, God.
Your way,
we
God.
Say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Good night, everybody on Facebook Live, Blog Talk. If you have any words that you would like to speak to us on tonight, have your way. Go on and speak at this time, Blog Talk. Okay, Blog Talk, you heard the announcements on tonight. Is someone going to say something? Okay, Blog Talk, as you heard the woman of God pray on tonight, and so if you all are available Sunday morning, please tune in to Apostle Elect program at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Standard Time. We will see you all then. Good night, everyone.